Well, good morning, Crossings. It is good to be with you on Baptism Sunday. Guys, this is the Sunday that we are made for. We talk around here at Crossings that we want to be a church that will help people find and follow Jesus. And today is the day that we get to actually celebrate people finding and deciding to follow Jesus. So let's get excited today. This is a good celebration day of why we exist. As Lynn said here at OKC a moment ago, and at every one of our locations, I just want to prime the pump a little bit. That everyone who has registered to baptize, we're gonna celebrate this new life in Christ. But I wanna put this thought in your head. You are going to have an opportunity to be baptized today. Every single person across every location, you're gonna have an opportunity at the end of this service to get baptized if you'd like. Because we're gonna talk about this idea of baptism through the lens of with him and like him. That's the series that we're in. And so to do that, we're gonna go to Matthew chapter 3. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 3. And what we see here is something that I learned when I was in my 20s. When I first became employable and I got a job and I started asking like about leadership, how do you lead people? And then specifically, how do you make disciples? What do you do? How do you do it? And so we're gonna look today at how Jesus actually walked through the transfer of leadership and ownership to his disciples. And there's three phrases that stuck out to me when I heard this idea early in my 20s. It was, I do, and then we do, and then you do. I will do it first, and then we will do it together, and then you will do it on your own. I do, we do, you do. And so that's what we're gonna look at today. We're gonna look at three scriptures. We're gonna start in Matthew chapter 3, and then we're gonna go to Matthew chapter 28, and then we're gonna go to Acts chapter 2. And we're gonna see Jesus lead his disciples just this way. I do, you watch me do it, and then we're gonna do this together, and then you do it. That's where we're gonna be today. And so in Matthew chapter 3, what we see is Jesus' baptism. Because what better way to celebrate Baptism Sunday than to actually look at baptism? And if you're not aware, baptism is just one of those things that the church has been doing for 2,000 years because of what we are gonna read today. Every Christian, every church, in every country for the last 2,000 years has been practicing baptism, this new life in Jesus. We have found Christ. And now we are going to follow him. And baptism is that public moment where we make our faith and our surrender and our obedience to Christ a public thing. What happens in the privacy of our own hearts becomes a public deal. And so let's look at Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. It says, then Jesus came to Galilee to John. That's John the Baptist, if you grew up in church. At the Jordan River to be baptized by him. But John tried to stop him saying, I need to be baptized by you, and yet you come to me? Jesus answered him, allow it for now, because this is the way for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then John allowed him to be baptized. When Jesus was baptized, he went up immediately from the water, and the heavens suddenly opened for him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming down on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And so just really briefly here, we see this picture that Jesus is like, I'm gonna do this. I'm going to show you what to do. And he gets baptized. And the crazy thing is John was doing a baptism of repentance here, and Jesus had nothing to repent from. He was perfect. And so the question quickly comes up, well, why did Jesus need to be baptized? We see a couple things in here I want to point them out. Number one, he says, so that all righteousness would be fulfilled. Now, if you study this and you get curious, which we tell you to do, study the Bible, get curious about it. Let me just break it down for you. What this all righteousness means, we'd probably say it like this. Jesus is confirming that I am on board with the plan of my Father to redeem the world through me. I'm ready. I'm on board and I am ready to do this. The second thing that we see the heavens open up and God speak to his son. What does he say? He says, "This is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased." Guys, we know and believe that Jesus was fully man and fully human. And so I look at this moment just as a guy, just as a dude, saying, what person doesn't want their dad to say out loud to them when they're maybe nervous or maybe scared or there's unknown ahead, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." There's a confirmation of the identity of Jesus happening here. God the Father is saying, you absolutely got it right. This is my son. Both for Jesus, I think my guess is his humanity needed to hear that as he walked into what would be the ministry of 3 years that would end on a cross. That he needed to hear his dad say, "I got you and I am with you. I'm proud of you." I don't know. Who doesn't want to hear that? I just get emotional just thinking about it. But here's the thing, there's also another audience. There's those watching Jesus be baptized, specifically John the Baptist. Because there was some uncertainty of who is this Jesus guy? What is he doing? What's happening here? Is this the one that we've been waiting for? And so John in chapter 1 of John, he says, he uses this example of Jesus's baptism as what convinced him that Jesus was the Messiah. And so those words from God to Jesus were not just for Jesus, it was for those watching to confirm, "This is my son. This is the son of God." And then thirdly, what we see here in Jesus' baptism, and this happens in our lives as well, is you see a transfer of mission and purpose, right? Before this moment, Jesus was just the son of God who was a carpenter. But at the baptism of Jesus, he went from a carpenter to the Son of God who is on mission to save and seek and save the lost. So his purpose changed at baptism. And for those of you who are being baptized today, your purpose as a child of God will change the purpose of your life. It is no longer just about me and my little kingdom. It's about God's kingdom. And Jesus is doing the same thing. He's saying, this is the moment where my life goes this way. And I'm going to live for God's kingdom. I'm going to seek and save the lost. I'm going to redeem all things back to God. And it started right here at baptism. This is a with him and like him moment. And we see Paul in Romans 6, verse 5, say this very thing. This is what Paul writes. He says, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." And so baptism is a with and like him move. We are dead and buried in Christ, right? And then we are risen to new life in baptism. And that new life is a new identity as a child of God, as a citizen of heaven and an ambassador of Christ. That's your new identity as a Christian. And then the mission changes as well. Let's go to Matthew chapter 28. So in Matthew chapter 3, we are at the very genesis of the ministry of Jesus. And 3 years later, the gospel stories, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, tell the story of Jesus. And we end here in Matthew chapter 28, where he's talking specifically to his disciples. And it's a very famous passage. If you've grown up in church, you may know it as the Great Commission, where Jesus is telling his disciples, it's no longer just me. This is the now we do. That was the I do, watch me get baptized. Now we're going to do it together. He brings them in. And so let's read this passage, and he gives them a commissioning of their life. It says in verse 16, "The 11 disciples traveled to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped, but some doubted," uncertainty. "Jesus came near and said to them, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth.'" And here's the famous verse 19, "Go, therefore." Why is the therefore? If you see therefore, you gotta ask yourself, What's it there for? You will never forget. What's it there for? He's saying, go make disciples. Why? Because all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. Therefore, you don't need to be afraid. You don't need to fear that you're alone. He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you, and remember, I am with you always to the very end of the age. So as Christians, we're called to go and make disciples because he's been given all authority on heaven, and he promises, I will be with you wherever you go. So what are we afraid of? What are we afraid of? But this is the we do part. I do, we do. Jesus commands us to baptize. He says, go and make disciples. And when people believe, when they come to the realization that they have a need for a savior, and we do, when they believe, when they put their faith in Christ, go baptize them. Why? No different than when Jesus was baptized. Other than the identifier of the Son of God, but here's what happens in baptism. We get a new identity. We get a new identity. Did you know in the historical church, a lot of the mainstream denominations would not use the last name of the person being baptized? For one simple reason. You are going to be baptized into a new family. Our last name is our family name. And so they would just say the first name and baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, because we are adopted into God's kingdom. Like this Sunday is Adoption Sunday. Everyone who gets baptized today across all of our locations has said, I believe in Jesus. I'm going to follow him. And now you are being baptized into a new family. You are a child of God, a citizen of heaven, and an ambassador of Christ. Your identity has shifted. We're not just living for our kingdom anymore. We're living for the kingdom of God and for God's purposes. And that's the second thing that happened, just like Jesus. Just like Jesus, that moment of baptism took him from a carpenter to the Messiah. He went from building tables and chairs, being faithful, to saying, now is the time where your purpose and the mission of your life is now the purpose and the mission of the kingdom of God. And so that's what he says. He says, go and make disciples. As you go, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit. And then teach them. This is what Jesus did. He baptized, he got baptized, made disciples, and taught them. And now he's saying, we're gonna do this together. We're gonna do this together. In John chapter 4, you actually see them doing it together. That the disciples and Jesus are baptizing people. I do, we do, you do. So let's get to the you do. Acts chapter 2. Well, let's get after it. This is one of my favorite chapters in the entire Bible. Because Acts chapter 2 is where the whole world changed. Jesus told his disciples after he was risen, I want you to wait here in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes on you in power, all right? And so they waited, and they waited, and they prayed, and they waited, and they prayed some more, and they waited. And then Acts chapter 2 happens. In the very beginning of Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit arrives on the scene in tongues of fire. Like, it's a pretty dramatic scene. So much so that the people watching what was happening started to make fun of the disciples, saying, what are you guys doing boozing this early in the morning? Are y'all drunk? That's what the Bible says. And Peter's like, oh no, that's not what's happening. Let me tell you what's happening. So here's the cool thing, is Jesus said, go and make disciples. And so Peter's like, I'm gonna do that. Peter says yes to Jesus. He just says, you say I'll do it? I'll go do it. And he gives his first sermon. And so let's read through. I'm not gonna read the whole thing, but we're gonna start in verse 22, and then I'll tell you where we're gonna jump in. Verse 22, fellow Israelites, remember they're in Jerusalem, listen to these words. This Jesus of Nazareth was a man attested to you by God with miracles. wonders and signs, what God did among you through him, just as you yourselves know. Though he was delivered up according to God's determined plan and foreknowledge, you used lawless people to nail him to a cross and kill him. God raised him up, ending the pains of death, because it was not possible for Jesus to be held by death. Verse 32, God has raised this Jesus. We are all witnesses of this. Verse 36, therefore. What's the therefore? Therefore. All right, guys, we're gonna have to do better than that. Here we go. What's this? He says, therefore. Let all the house of Israel, and today, can I just replace Israel with all the house of crossings? That all the house of Israel know with certainty that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what should we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, it's for your children, and as many as the Lord will call, those who are far off. With many other words, Peter testified and strongly encouraged them, saying, be saved from this corrupt generation. So those who accepted his message were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 people were added to them. So first we have the I do, and then the we do, and then it's the you do. And Peter's like, you got it. And he gets after it. He opens his mouth, and what Acts chapter 2 is, what we would use, is he just shared the gospel. He shared the good news of who Jesus is, that he is the Son of God that has come to seek and save and redeem the whole world. He didn't come to give us a better week or help us out through a pinch. He came to transform you and adopt you into his family so that your purpose is his purpose, that your identity is his identity. Not just for someday far off, but for today and for tomorrow, this week, this month, this year, and every year in between. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And so let's walk through this, because I think this passage is really important when it comes to the you do part. All right, so he starts in verse 36. Therefore, let all of the house of Israel know with certainty that God has made Jesus two things. God has made Jesus two things. Did you catch this? He has made him Lord and Savior, Messiah. Now, I'll be honest. Growing up, I loved the idea of Jesus as Savior. Warm fuzzies, made me feel safe. I really like security. And so it's this idea of like, yeah, I want that. And so as a kid, literally, I would give my life to Jesus multiple times a year. Just to double check, triple check, 100 check. I did it all the time. I was just a fearful little kid, evidently. And so what he's saying is he's not just Savior, but he is Lord. That word Lord in the Greek means the one who holds decision-making power, authority. He is not just Savior. He's not just an eternal insurance policy. He's not here just to give you an Instagrammable quiet time, right? Like he's here to seek and save the lost and then to lead you and guide you to be Lord of your life. And here's the thing that we don't like about this word Lord, because it feels like you're gonna Lord something over us. That's our fear. That's not who God is. And that's not what he does. The most Google searched Bible verse every year by far is John 3:16. And that verse says, for God so what? Loved the world. God so loved you. God so loved you. That he moved, his love moved him to send his one and only son, that whoever believes in him, not the one that's acting perfect, not the one that's got it all together, whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Why? Because you will be adopted into his kingdom. Did you know the gospel that Jesus preached was not the gospel of death and resurrection of himself? The gospel that Jesus preached was that the kingdom of God has come near. The kingdom of God has come near, and Jesus came in to usher in the kingdom of God, and now he invites you into his kingdom. And you can trust him not just as Savior, but as Lord, because he is a good and merciful and gracious and loving God. And you can trust him with it. You can trust him with all of it. And so after Peter gets done saying this, it says, when they heard this, the Israelites heard this and they were pierced to the heart. Or your Bible may say they were cut to the heart. And that word pierced or cut to the heart means they were filled to the deepest parts of them with sorrow. They had missed it. They had missed Jesus. Now they didn't just miss him, they killed him. And they were cut to the heart. You know, we can know a lot of things up here, but oftentimes I find that it has to get here in order for change to happen. In order for me to actually be moved, it has to be here. My parents moved from California to Oklahoma. I wish it was because they love me so much. But we had kids, and they moved because they loved their grandchildren. Love moves us because love moves God. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son, that whoever believes will not perish but have eternal life. And so this idea of what should we do, they're moved. They sense that the Holy Spirit's doing something. They had this moment where like, oh no. There was a realization that we have done something terrible. We have missed Jesus. We thought we were in because we're Israelites, because our father is Abraham and David. We thought we were in Crossings. My greatest fear for our church is that we would too think we are in just because we attend a building. Just because we were born into a Christian family. Just because we were born in the Christian culture of where we live in this country. May it not be so that we just think we're born into it. So did the Israelites, and they were cut to the heart. Oh no, I'm not. And so there was a changing of their mind. They were convinced and convicted that, oh, I need a Savior, I need Jesus. And they're like, oh no, what do? We killed him. Is it too late? Peter, what do we do? And Peter says, it ain't too late. It ain't too late because Jesus is alive. Death could not hold him. The grave was blown wide open and Jesus is alive. And so the hope of the gospel is not just sitting in the wall, into the wallows of the cutting to the heart and the sorrow. Our sorrow is immediately turned to joy because Jesus is risen. He is alive. And so what does Peter say in verse 38? He says, repent and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So what happened is they were convicted, they were convinced, they were cut to the heart that they needed a Savior, that they needed to be forgiven. And that it was offered to them. It's not too late. It's never too late. God's always doing more than we think. There was a realization that they were not in. What they knew in their head had moved to their heart. My question is, has it ever moved to your heart? That Jesus is King. That he is a Savior. He's a loving and gracious and merciful God who said, I love you and I want you back. Verse 38 talks about repentance, and that's just the changing of our mind. Our changing. They went from seeing Jesus as just a guy from Nazareth to Lord and Messiah. Their mind changed because their heart had been pierced. The Holy Spirit was doing work, The Holy Spirit just got here and he's getting after it. He is wasting no time. And then lastly, it says this in verse 39, the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he testified and strongly urged them, saying, be saved from this corrupt generation. So those who accepted his message, those who accepted, took it as their own, made it their own, were baptized that day. You see, baptism is the beginning of your life with Christ. It is not the end. It is the beginning of living out your new identity as a child of God and your new purpose for the kingdom of God. You see, baptism is a with him and like him response. We get baptized because Jesus did it, I do. Because he said, go baptize, we do. And then Peter says, I'll go do it. Go do it, you do it. So this is what we do as Christians. Baptism isn't just another Sunday. It's not just another dunk in the tank. It is an identification change. It is a purpose change and it is a future change. It's a family change. You get adopted into the kingdom. It is good news. All right? So here's what we're gonna do. Just like Peter stopped preaching, I'm gonna stop preaching and we're gonna get after it. He said, go be baptized, and 3,000 people were baptized that day. So what I'm gonna do here in just a second is I'm gonna pray. But before we do, we're gonna ask two questions for anybody who wants to get baptized. I think we've got them on the screen. Do we have those questions? Here we are. First question is the belief. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? That he lived, died for your sins, and that he rose again? That's question number one. That's the question of belief. Question number two is repentance. Do you commit today to start following Jesus as Lord and Savior in every area of your life for the rest of your life? Will you change your mind on how you think about baptism, how you think about following Jesus? Will you change? Will there be repentance? Not just belief, but repentance. There's a turning. So the question then today is, do you believe? And I want to invite every single person in this room and every person watching, you can get baptized today. Here's why. One, we have bought a ridiculous amount of t-shirts, shorts, underwear, bras, hair ties, and towels. We are ready. And if we get too many, fishes and loaves, people, fishes and loaves. All right, so I wanna encourage a couple different people in this room and everybody watching. If you've never been baptized and you're a Christian, today's the day. Let's go. Number two, maybe you got baptized when you were super little and you didn't fully understand your identity in Christ and your purpose and mission as a Christian. But now you've lived a little life and it's time to, like, you know what? I'm all in. Let's go. I'm gonna make the decision this time. Or three, maybe you're coming to church today for the first time and you've been cut to the heart that I knew who Jesus was, but he is not Lord of my life. Today's the day. Trust God with you. Trust him. He is good. Get adopted into a new family today, into a new kingdom with a new identity and a new purpose. And here's the thing, some of you guys are worried. I didn't come ready to be baptized. Well, I just told you, we're ready. All right, so that's off the side. Number two, well, what did my family think? They didn't know I was gonna get baptized today. Great, they're gonna celebrate. This is gonna be the best day of their week. They're gonna be so excited. The people around you gonna be like, look, God's moving. You getting baptized is gonna encourage others to say, God's moving in my life and I'm moving in obedience to get baptized. If you've already been baptized, you're like, Andy, you're not talking to me. Then here's what I'm gonna ask everybody to do. We're going to worship God as loud as he is worthy of being worshiped, and we're gonna celebrate our new family members. When they get dunked, we're gonna cheer and we're gonna celebrate a new identity, a new brother and sister in Christ, that they would join us as a church in the mission of Jesus. All right? Let's pray. God, thank you so much, Lord, for your goodness and your grace, that you loved us in such a way that you would send your one and only Son to redeem us and adopt us into your family. God, I pray for everyone today across all of our locations who is being baptized. God, would this be a wonderful beginning of their journey with you? Would you help us as a church encourage them and cheer them on as we all follow Jesus together? God, we celebrate what you're doing in the lives of our people. We pray these things in your name. Amen.